Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about how public relations and crisis planning are integral to law firm marketing. Our guest today is Gina Rubel. Gina is the CEO of Furia Rubel Communications, a nationally known law firm, a nationally known law firm, public relations, and crisis communications agency. A renowned strategic marketing expert, attorney, and author, Gina is a fellow of the College of Law Practice Management and the American Bar Foundation. Law firm and corporate leaders call on Gina for high-stakes public relations, crisis planning, and incident response support, including high-profile litigation media relations. In addition, Gina is recognized by LawDragon as a Global 100 leading consultant and strategist to the legal profession. Welcome to the show, Gina.
It is so good to speak with you today, Guy.
Well, it's so great to have you, and I've been wanting to have you on our show for a long time, so I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Thank you.
So, Gina, before we get started on the topic, I'd like to find a little bit more about you. Like, how did you move from being an attorney and then shifting to, you know, your current role as a business owner and leading your agency?
You know, Guy, that's the most common question I get, and it's such an easy answer. First of all, I was in corporate communications prior to going to law school. It's in my DNA. In corporate communications, which is what we both do, you know, you and you know, being the guru in the social sphere, and law, we do the same exact thing. We communicate a message to a target audience to elicit a response. And that's what they teach us how to do in law school. You're advocating. It's just different ways of advocating. So it's understanding the methodologies, the strategies, and the implementation. So it was actually a really easy transition because I got to marry my two loves.
That's great. And so talking a little bit about public relations, you know, how does public relations support a law firm's overall strategic business plan? What role does PR actually play?
Well, it's interesting. And I think, you know, because you and I are both in the law firm communication sphere, we know that there's really no such thing as these silos that we were put in years ago. So public relations isn't a standalone practice. Marketing, social media engagement, content marketing, even crisis communications, they're no longer siloed practices. Even though we know that many of the listeners are in firms where those are siloed. So if you think about public relations in particular, and you think about law firm business development, let's say a law firm is looking at growing a particular area of practice, and I'm going to use aviation as an example. And they have a number of clients in aviation. A great way to gain more credibility is to publish articles, to get quoted in the media regarding aviation matters, to increase the thought leadership on the website. And that's PR, it's marketing, and then to share those things, right, through social media and
absolutely
as part of your RFPs. So it should be part and parcel with the strategy. If you know that your law firm is up for a big RFP, getting that kind of content on your site or sharing articles where you've been quoted before, it creates a level of credibility that it's far and beyond above simply sending out a newsletter.
Right.
And so from Furia Rubel's perspective, we always make sure that the PR marries the law firm business and communication strategy. So whether it's through, you know, I mean, you deal with this all the time. if a firm is going through M&As or they're looking to grow in a particular market, or they have a really strong practice that they want to recruit for, PR can support all of those things. And it's not just about sending out press releases. I think that's the biggest misnomer.
Yeah. Do you find that, so it's interesting, because I completely agree with you that, you know, PR and social media and content marketing, they're not really siloed approaches. And for them to really work together, to be effective, they got to work together. But do you find that, you know, especially more conservative or traditional law firms understand that? Or do you feel like they still are very much in the siloed mentality where they view PR as, you know, unique and to its own?
Well, I'm going to answer that in a two-part answer. One, most legal marketers, and especially seasoned legal marketers, understand that.
Mm-hmm.
They are oftentimes trying to advocate in their law firms to get the lawyers to understand that.
Right.
Do I think the lawyers and executive committees understand it? No, I don't. I had a practice group chair this week in a big firm in a very, very lucrative practice say, yeah, I really don't know the difference between advertising and PR. And at which point I said, I will send you a copy of my book.
But it is
interesting, you know, as someone who went to law school and considers herself both a lawyer and legal marketing professional.
Yeah.
They didn't teach us any of that in law school. They don't teach you in law school that pricing is part of the marketing mix. They don't teach you that client service is part of the marketing mix. So everything we do, every touch point with an audience can be considered public relations or marketing.
Absolutely. And so talk a little bit about public relations and content marketing and how does one support the other in your mind? Like, obviously, you know, firms are creating a lot of content these days, but my guess is they probably don't do it thinking about how PR can actually support what they're doing. So, you know, how do you work with your clients and, you know, what do you tell them with regards to this?
Well, and I'm going to guess you would say a lot of the same thing, but what I'm going to say is content for content's sake is a waste of time.
100%.
It must employ data and strategy. So, for example, we would work with someone like Good to Be Social and say, okay, what reports do we need to identify the key phrases that are most important for this particular practice area that our client is trying to grow. And let's say that's a mutual client.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd identify those and we'd look at what the business opportunities are and come up with, let's say, some key thought leadership articles that are very timely and relevant. And then make sure those key terms from a content and search engine optimization perspective are included in a way that has integrity. It's not just, you know, stuffing keywords. That's not,
right.
that's an antiquated practice that I've always disliked. So we work with the content strategists and we do have some strategists on our team as well, but more so with big firms, we work with people like you where we're looking at what are you trying to accomplish and how can we support that from the PR perspective? And how does that support business development? And then how does that support the overall firm goals?
Yeah.
So it's making sure that all the ingredients are in the recipe so that the recipe turns out perfect.
Absolutely. Now, it makes so much sense. And I feel like that sometimes is what's at least you mentioned, you know, attorneys don't necessarily understand it. And, you know, they don't understand because, as you said, they don't really teach you this in law school. But I can imagine that sometimes you get requests from either lawyers directly or the marketing communication professionals at law firms that says, you know, my lawyer wants to be featured on this publication or they want to speak at this conference. And they've probably have very little content that you can leverage to show that, you know, they are a thought leader or a expert in that particular area of the law. So do you run into those situations, and what do you do when that happens?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It really depends on the situation. For speaking engagements and conferences, we don't find it as difficult if they don't have a ton of content, because most organizations are looking for new speakers all the time. So that's actually easier. It really comes down to getting them media placements,
yeah,
and needing to show that they're thought leaders in these spaces. And then the other place where I see it a lot is when they say, well, I want to be nominated for this award. And they haven't published anything. They haven't, you know, they don't keep their social media profiles up to date. They have a sparse LinkedIn profile with, you know, a two sentences of bio. And, you know, that it just doesn't serve them. And we have to go back and say, respectfully, let's work on these foundational items first. Mm-hmm. We can nominate you this year so that they see you exist, but don't expect to get it this year. Let's now work for the next year to create everything that showcases who you really are as a leading lawyer in that area. And they don't always like to hear it, obviously, but it's truthful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it takes some time to build it sometimes. I agree. And what about from a business development perspective? Like, how does PR support a law firm's business development processes? You know, how do you make it so that you can strategically create PR opportunities that actually help law firms, you know, acquire and retain more clients?
Well, you have to have a seat at the table, first of all. And I should say the marketing team has to have a seat at the table. And in the bigger firms, BD has to be speaking to marketing. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to be communicating, and they have to know what RFPs are coming in, what practice areas they're trying to grow. So it has to start internally at the law firms. As an external support team, you know, we're just not omniscient, right? So go back to that aviation example. We had a client where they wanted to grow their aviation practice. We knew that they had informational meetings during some consolidation processes with the GCs at a number of their target clients. Uh-huh. So we spent a good amount of time submitting articles and getting quotes in aviation publications.
Right. Makes sense.
It was just a focus. And then when they were putting their materials together, and you know, we had access to Lexis Advance. We were researching what the types of cases were, what were their biggest, there being the clients, what are their biggest challenges? So that you're addressing those challenges in the PR materials, uh-huh, that create thought leadership, that demonstrate, it's not just say, right? It's not just say I know how to do it. It's demonstrate that you understand it. So to be able to leave articles behind that were published on the very issues that keep these GCs up at night, 100% supported the BD efforts for aviation. That client landed a $1 million contract within 2 months.
Wow,
that contract, I know that was a few years ago. That client still has that contract, and it's grown exponentially.
Fantastic. So a couple of things, a couple more questions out of what you said, and I find it really interesting. So first, you mentioned, you know, seat at the table, and you know, marketing and to a certain extent biz dev has to have a seat at the table. Do you find that most law firm marketers have a CMO or a director of marketing has a seat at the table? And if you do, do you think that's changed over time? How have you seen that progress?
Well, that is called a loaded gun. yes and no. It really depends on the firm culture. And I'm sure your listeners know that there are so many different types of firm cultures. We've been very fortunate to work with, so we predominantly work with AmLaw 200 and mid-market firms. They tend to be the ones that will outsource to a PR agency and don't have a full PR department in-house. Mm-hmm. So we have found that on average, maybe 30% of the people we know in those spaces have a real seat at the table. In the AmLaw 100, I would say it's more like 70%.
Okay, that's good.
I think it's changed greatly. Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. The American Bar Association is over 120 years old. The Legal Marketing Association is is just about 40 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So think about the, how, you know, we're still very new and getting and gaining the credibility that is due. And I'll say this, this is a compliment to all the legal marketers listening and for the lawyers who listen to your podcast. The legal marketers that you and I have had the opportunity to get to know and work with are some of the most brilliant business strategists.
Absolutely.
I've ever met, and I'm sure you would say the same.
100% agree. Absolutely.
And and I think when law firms, especially ECs, really start to allow dialogue with the CMOs, the CBDOs, the chief client officers, they get a better sense that we actually really know how to run businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we're doing. We know how to price. We know how to provide client service. And, there's a whole, it's not just about the billable hour and profits per partner. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just not. That's not what makes a successful company.
Absolutely.
So, there's a huge disparity, though, depending on the type of firm, the size of firm, the region of the firm, the culture of the management committees.
I agree. And I do think that it has been changing and it'll continue to change. I feel like the more competition there is, the more recognition that, hey, marketing has to have a seat at the table. And, you know, the more data you have to back up what you're talking about as a marketer, the more powerful you become. So,
but there's a generational shift too at the top.
Absolutely.
So, the old guard is on their way out. They're almost all retired.
Yeah.
And the new guard is coming in and saying, if we don't do this, if we don't emulate what profitable businesses are doing, which, by the way, happen to be our clients, then we are not going to survive. And that's, they're the same firms that get eaten up with M&A.
Yeah, I agree. Let me shift a little bit topics and talk about crisis communication, crisis planning. So, how do you work with law firms and their clients through a crisis? And I imagine those are probably some of the most interesting and at the same time emotional engagement that you guys have.
Well, it's really interesting. So I'll start with the end of your question first. Yes, it's very emotional. It's very taxing. It's very exhausting. And it feels like being on trial for seven straight months, and I was a litigator. So I can tell you, I really do get that exhaustion. That being said, it's very rewarding. We just worked with a large firm, and I'm going to be very mindful of what I say because it's under NDA, where they had an issue with a client as a result of an internal investigation. And there had to be a change made to an executive level person. I'm just going to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
The attorney who hired us to help provide internal and external communication strategies couldn't be more grateful for the counsel we provided as it related to the court of public opinion. And we couldn't be more grateful for the counsel that the lawyer provided regarding the employment issues. And where there's just such a beautiful marriage there is that this could have been a really ugly issue. It could have blown up on social. It's a high-profile corporation, and it didn't blow up. It got very little coverage, and it went away within a few days. And really, you know, when you're talking about crisis, oftentimes you're looking at how do we minimize damage, right? Or avoid it altogether in some instances. It's the polar opposite of media relations, which is, oh, we want to get you media coverage, which is, sure, how can we keep this out of the media, right? But think about all the lawyers who say, well, you know, I jumped ship, I was a prosecutor, now I'm doing defense law. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. We really understand both sides of the coin. Being a part of a crisis team in a law firm is extremely rewarding because we get to look at it from a number of different angles. That being said, to answer your question, how do you work with the firm? Some firms bring us on in the midst of a crisis. Some will call in advance and say, I have this client. We anticipate this is going to become a media frenzy. You know, can we retain you as non-testifying experts to give us some advice? And then others, they bring us on and say, this client needs a crisis plan in the event that X, Y, and Z happens. And the flip side of that is, you know, and this is being recorded as we're all unmasking. I don't want to say post-pandemic, but because I don't believe we're still post-pandemic, but, you know, we're months and months and months and months out, over a year. And the last year, what was interesting, Guy, is we spent a year dealing with everybody else's pandemic crises. Yep. And civil unrest, incident response, and DE&I challenges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had to deal with it too. We all had to deal with it at the same time. And it's the first time I've ever had that experience where, so our office is in Pennsylvania, our headquarters is in Pennsylvania. So if a client is dealing with an earthquake on the West Coast, we're not dealing with the earthquake. We're literally ground, you know, we're here to take care of everything for the client. If a client's dealing with a hurricane down south, we're here and we're dealing with everything that they need. We create a war room here. This time we were all dealing with it.
Right.
So I'm closing client offices as I'm rewriting our work from home policies. We're now a fully virtual agency, by the way, and we're not returning to an office. Were you before?
It's interesting. So we were one day a week, we were virtual. So every Friday, everyone worked from home. So when we made the shift to fully virtual, it wasn't as big a shift as other agencies and companies had, but we used to be 4 days in the office and then one day at home.
And so we've both done the same thing. We're fully virtual and there are so many benefits to it. I don't plan on going back. I think it's really allowed us to be more of a diverse team, to be more productive, just so many benefits. But so interestingly enough, how we work with clients and their clients, that's generally how that happens. The one key point that I think is important for listeners is oftentimes lawyers will refer us their clients to handle a crisis. And if it has to do with litigation, we will not work with the client unless it's through counsel.
It's
a very slippery slope, and it's a There are a lot of PR agencies that do that. We do not. We make sure we work through counsel to provide the highest level of protection to their client.
That's very smart. That makes a lot of sense. Great. Well, Gina, unfortunately, we've run out of time, although I would love to continue talking to you. So I think what we're going to have to do is have you back on the show in a not too distant future.
Well, I would love that. And you know, you're not getting away scot-free. I want to have you on Record PR so we get to talk about all the great work you do.
I look forward to that. Absolutely. Absolutely. But before I let you go, can you provide one bit of advice, an actionable takeaway, something that you want to share with our audience?
Yes. Work together. Do your best not to be siloed in a law firm. And if your lawyers don't silo your communications professionals, and don't call them non-lawyers.
Yeah. People hate that. I'm
a lawyer and I hate it.
I hate it too.
We don't say non-doctor. Let's not say non-lawyer.
Agreed. 100%. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and being on the show. We will definitely have to have you back in the future. For our audience, thank you again for listening today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure you go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there so you don't miss any future episodes. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Gina, it's really a pleasure. I look forward to being on the show. We'll have your website, your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter. You know what? We didn't actually mention your book. You want to talk a little bit about your book for a second?
Well, what I'll say is I wrote Everyday Public Relations for Lawyers. It's in its second edition, and it is available on Amazon and attorneyatwork.com.
Awesome. So we'll put a link to that as well, and we'll go from there. Gina, thank you so much. It's been great having you. And we'll
thank you, Guy.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.